हरिः ॐ
सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 14. If one is actually sympathetic to fallen, suffering humanity, he should try to elevate people from materialistic consciousness to spiritual consciousness. As far as the deer was concerned, Mars Bharata became very sympathetic, but he forgot that it was impossible for him to elevate a deer to spiritual consciousness, because, after all, a deer is but an animal. It was very dangerous for Bharat Maharaj to sacrifice all his regular principles simply to take care of an animal. Because it's not that you're sacrificing something and getting the result from it and that this deer is becoming elevated in Krishna consciousness. So you may be sacrificing one aspect, moving your schedules around, making some things, but you're getting the preaching, you're getting that association as they develop. That's not happening. Right? So in other words, the deer will just be happy. That's it. The principles enunciated in Bhagavad Gita should be followed. Yam hi na vyatan yat yete purusham purushar shabha. Bhagavad Gita 2.15, footnote 3. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress is steady in both, and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. As far as the material body is concerned, we cannot do anything for anyone. However, by the grace of Krishna, we may raise a person to spiritual consciousness if we ourselves follow the rules and regulations. If we give up our own spiritual activities and simply become concerned with bodily comforts for others, we fall into a dangerous position. So that's the whole point of pranamoy, is that you're worried about the others just simply their physical conditions or mental conditions. You're not worried about the consciousness.
Yes.
Right? So that's the weakness there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Sometimes we care for a person, but he's not ready to accept Krishna consciousness as a process.
Yes.
So the only thing is left is the body and the mind.
Right.
Should we try and entertain?
It depends upon what's the reason you would be involved with this person.
Family member.
Okay, family member. Then how much is required as a family member? You know what I'm saying? So that much then is what you put in, like that. But at the same time, it's not that you can't be Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
Because here he put the full attention on the deer, the family member, but didn't take care of his own sadhana or anything.
Right.
So you have to always see that your own practices continue, like that. Because there is the potential in a human for it to respond.
Yeah.
But that's the weakness here. The animal won't, right? You know, it's not going to. Definitely, it's going to be if you're performing sadhana and chanting and taking prasad, then the deer may get some benefit, some agyata sukriti that will have that next life. They'll be human, then they can carry on. But if you're not doing in taking care of them, you're not doing your sadhana, then the whole thing kind of falls apart.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that sounds
yes.
Yeah. Maharaj Bharata continued his thoughts. Even though one is in the renounced order, one who has advanced certainly feels compassion for suffering living entities. One should certainly neglect his own personal interests, although they may be very important, to protect one who has surrendered. Right, so it's supposed to be your own interest means maybe you miss a meal or you something like that, not you give up your spiritual endeavor. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And here he's Kshatriya. That's why he
That's what we said in the morning?
That may have something to do with it. That may come out, just like we're using the example of Arjuna. He goes to the forest, and then because of that, then he, is going to get back into those kind of things. So you either function on the transcendental platform, or you will function according to your conditioning. Right? So coming from the Kshatriya background, he functions according to conditioning, then it will come into that position. Is that... Srila Prabhupada comments. Maya is very strong. In the name of philanthropy, altruism, and communism, people are feeling compassionate for suffering humanity throughout the world, right? So philanthropy means you give things for others like that. Altruism is you give your time for others, mm-hmm. right? You know, you don't have money, but you put in time, yeah, right? Yeah. And then communism is you try to make whatever is there is shared amongst everybody else.
Altruism valued more than philanthropy?
Not necessarily. You never see that there's the big stage and then the camera comes in and then the guy says, yes, he put in 47 hours last week. You definitely don't see that.
No. But I mean, from a preaching point of view, from a Vedic point of view, the personal relationship is worth more than the money or...
That's another thing, because we're dealing here with getting distracted by the pranamoy.
Yeah,
so each one has its value, that you have something, you give it for others.
Yes.
Right? But you're maintaining your position. It's not that you become... So communism is whatever you have, you take it, so you divide it up, let's say there's 100 people, you take what you have, divide it up into 100, you get one share and everybody else gets one share.
Yes.
Right? Philanthropy would mean, you give part of it. You know, you have 100, you give 10 or 20, that.
Yes.
For the benefit of everyone.
Yes.
That. But your altruism means you don't have something to give, but you can put in time.
Yes.
So you're down at the soup kitchen giving out soup and, stuff like that. That's altruism.
Yes.
Putting in that time, putting in that effort. So you see, some people do both.
Yes.
They give money, but they also put in time when they can. But they're more known for their philanthropy than their, altruism.
Yes.
People are feeling compassion for suffering humanity throughout the world. Philanthropists and altruists do not realize that it is impossible to improve people's material conditions. Right? Means you can put in something, but it won't improve unless it's their karma that it can. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. It doesn't mean that you don't put in something, but then it's because you have something, it's your duty, you take care. But to commit all your endeavor to that and miss out on doing your proper duties, that's not going to work out very good.
It sounds like if you want to do good works as devotees, you need to fully understand what it is you can do, that you are going to help other rather than just letting them put the money within the...
Yes, yes. Because the actual thing you can do for someone is the Krishna consciousness. That means you're talking about welfare work. So the highest is actually you're doing welfare work for the soul. Because welfare work means someone in an unfortunate condition, you're trying to raise that standard. So if someone's in an unfortunate condition of lacking Krishna consciousness, you're trying to raise that standard. Yes, that's the primary. Now, with that, then we distribute prasad or, different things like that. But it's not about distributing prasad. This discussion came up, we discussed it before, about prasad distribution. Before it was ISKCON food for life or, something like that. So it's obvious that it's, the devotees and they're doing prasad. I remember at the temples, it was a very common thing, big temples, then after the Sunday program, you have lots of prasad left, because you cook for hundreds and then there may be something left, maybe not. So on days when there's lots left, they would take it all, pile it into their van and drive down to the area where all the homeless people were. And, they come out and call them over and then feed everybody. And they knew they were devotees.
Yes.
Like that. I remember once we were driving somewhere and, what is it? We came... we came under this bridge. It was going, I can't remember where it was, going into Germany or going south. It was a specific bridge, but it's one of those, it's way out of the way. And so you don't find any authorities over there. So it was interesting. I'd never been that way. So we come that way. We're in a van like everybody else. But then you have there is all the professional ladies are standing there, you know, because it's a quiet place, but it's highway, so people pull over there and there's not a problem and everything like that. So as soon as they see the devotees, then all the girls come running, you know, the van stops, they all come running over and you open the thing, give out prasad and everything like that, and Hari Bol and drive off. Like that. So they always know the devotees will come along and give prasad. Like that. So the giving prasad, they know it's devotees. But then it kind of morphed into this thing is that, you know, Christians are giving, you know, charity, this, that, you know, and then people say, what are you guys doing, you know, and stuff. So instead of explaining about the higher welfare and this and that, we do what we can. And even putting in, you know, the altruism, we're putting in our time for spiritual work. We don't have the money. That they took, oh, no, we have to do this. And then they created this thing where it's more of we're distributing food rather than we're actually it's about the prasad and its devotees. So then that became very popular, but then, you know, one particular sannyasi, you know, instead of calling it food for life, he called it food for death, because he says you're not giving them Krishna consciousness. Right? They say, no, it's prasad. That's because they don't know it's prasad, they'll only get a gyata sukriti. So it's not like they know it's devotees and devotees are giving food and it's spirit, so therefore they're taking, and then they that's a, more of that understanding of devotional service. You understand? So that one has to be very, very careful about. Because otherwise we think, see, we're defeated, now we're doing good. But before they were doing, and it was known, it was devotees. So that's the whole thing, is that people should connect it to Krishna consciousness. Like that. Otherwise, I mean, we have another one devotee, I think every day he feeds, I think, 300,000 kids. Like that. And I'm not sure how many it is total everywhere, but that's in one city. Yes. I know. Yes. You know, but it's not really known that it's prasad and all that. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So it's just that he's got that, he's big, and so he's and materially he's really, really wealthy and really, really powerful and influential. Yes. Like that. But the problem is it's not connected with devotional service. Mm-hmm. So that's what Prabhupada's talking about here. So we have to be very careful of that. So whatever we're putting in, it should be that it's connected with devotion, because the real, you know, the real welfare is benefiting the soul. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yes. So what if I wrote this story to
Yes, because the point is we don't just give money, and that we give, you know, we give prasad, we give, you know, the time, the effort, and, you know, that would be considered, you know, something like that. But you just put it, you just, if people are working, bring out areas like that, like the devotees go and they preach at prisons. Like, you know, who goes to prison? Who cares for them? So they go down there, they chew prasad, do some kirtan, give some discussions, answer questions, and then they appreciate a lot. I remember once one devotee was telling me, how do you say? He somehow or another was there, and someone asked him if he'd come, because, you know, he's from the school here, and he's always, you know, same kind of technical philosophy and stuff like that. So then he goes to one of these programs, and this is, he went to high security. It was one of those kind of things. So then they, you know, even when you go in, you have to put your hands into an x-ray thing and everything. It's really checking, goes in, does the program. And, you know, answers questions, talks on karma, talks, you know, so they actually get an understanding why they're there, what's happening, what is the reformation, you know, and all that. But at the same time, it's because of the soul and like that. And afterwards, one kind of really old, you know, kind of, but not wimpy guy comes up to him. And he comes up and just, I'd like to thank you so much for this, because, you know, no one comes, no one talks about these things like that. And he came and, you know, did the, you know, the kind of like very nice double handshake, like this. And then as he's going, he realized the guy had put this solid gold watch into his hand. You know, so in other words, the guy that did that was one of the big guys in the prison there. Because this is, you know, maximum security. So, you know, these are all the, you know, the big guys. Like that. And the reason he gave that, because it's solid gold, then when he goes through the, he keeps it in his hand, when he goes into the thing, it won't show. like that. You know, the guy knows all this stuff. Because otherwise, how do you give a, you know, you can't give something else. If it was metal, that the detector would catch it. Right? And so then when he went out, there had been some discussions with the devotee who was organizing the program that, you know, no one really supports the prison program, even though they respond so nicely and all that. So he handed him the watch and said, here.
Yes.
So the thing is it's appreciated. People do, but not so much as put into that. But it's the preaching. We say, oh, it's preaching, that's not welfare. No, preaching is the welfare. And then you use mediums that are going to be useful. You know, Prabhupada wanted that we have a center for distributing prasad every 10 miles. He says you take the map, draw a line every 10 miles. Both ways, latitude, longitude. In every one of those places, there should be a place distributing prasad. So no one should go hungry. But it's about everyone's getting prasad, not about just people. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're devotees. They know it's devotees. And it's not about we're doing it as PR. It's a matter of this is what we do. You know? Yeah.
Whenever I'm walking around in London dressed like this, I pass the homeless guy, he always says Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Always. Because Parashuram is doing this food for all.
Okay.
And everybody knows it's devotees.
Okay.
So the homeless guys, they all, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. So they get so much appreciation.
Yeah,
So by living that lifestyle, it's so austere, because living the street is an austerity. Then that austerity, next life, one taking Bashad, so they'll get human birth, but also from the austerity, then they'll be in a better material position.
Yeah, so it's
long term. You have to wait for the bum for next life, but you know.
Slow but steady.
Slow but steady. Yeah. So, Prabhupada's making the point is this element of compassion, because which is necessary, because the devotee has good qualities, right? So these 26 qualities of the devotee. So the primary one of that being that surrender to Krishna, that dependence on Krishna, is the main. Then the other 25 have meaning. Yeah. But if we emphasize the 25 without that one, then we miss the point. That's what's being brought out here. So these things are nice things, but you have to make sure that it's about Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah? Yes?
Maharaj, to care about our own spiritual life, can we say it is like compassion for ourselves?
You could, but the point is you can only do something if you're in the position. One, you have the thing, you're doing it, you can encourage others to do it.
Yes.
Right? But the other is that if you're in a healthy condition, you can help others get to a healthy condition.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Hence the doctor, heal thyself. You know?
Yeah.
Like that. Because otherwise, if you're not in a good position, how do you help others?
Mm. Yeah.
So that's the point. So.
Mm-hmm.
The only benefit we can render to suffering beings is try to raise them to spiritual consciousness. Material comforts cannot be increased or decreased. It means according to their karma, they will only get so much. So even if you give them, it doesn't mean they can keep it.
Yes.
That's the whole point. So if you give it and it keeps, then you gave it, but if you hadn't given it, somebody else would have. So the point is by that. So we get distracted by that aspect. It's the compassion element's good. You do what you can. But you have to understand is that actually the change in their karma is only going to come when it's supposed to come. So the thing you can add is Krishna consciousness, because that's not part of their karma. Right? That's the thing. Is any conditioned living entity, being Krishna consciousness, is not part of his material karma.
So then anything can happen.
Yeah. But devotional service, that you can give, that's the nature of the soul. But their conditioning, that's going to run however it's going to run. Right? So unless Krishna changes it, it's not going to change. Because Maya, it will run however it's supposed to run, no matter what the situation. Krishna might adjust that with the devotees. One might have more facility, less facility, whatever it is, that's his doing. But we can't do that. Because we're thinking, I'm the controller and enjoyer, I can change it.
Yes.
But actually, all I can do is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, distributing prasad, the prasad itself, then is a benefit. Plus, by giving prasad, then people become comfortable. That, you know, it's a natural thing. You know, whoever you give food to, they become friendly.
Yes.
So then Krishna consciousness, that they take the association, it goes nicely. It's also interesting for those who, in other words, you also have to make distinction between those who are going to take advantage of what you do as welfare, those that can't take advantage, mm-hmm. and those who are taking advantage.
Yeah.
You understand? So that's the thing. It's like we had the prasad distribution here, it was going every day. But then Prabhupada says, no, it shouldn't be every day, because then people that could work won't.
Yeah.
So in other words, welfare is for those who can't work. Those who could work should be working.
Yes.
Right? So I think then it was only on the weekends then they gave out.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So you have to balance that also. So it's not just a blind compassion.
Mm-hmm. Right? Adi Purusha Prabhu in New York does the same thing. He doesn't go out every day.
Okay.
He goes out some days.
Yes, otherwise then they won't even try. So
yeah.
People that won't, like you had that thing where I told the story about the king who said he's going to feed the lazy people.
Yeah.
But now so many people take advantage. So then, you know, then you burn the house down. The lazy guys, they're too lazy to leave. So then these are the qualified men. So they should be fed.
It's interesting. Also, those who come for Adi Purusha Prabhu's prasadam, they very much know the difference in quality between prasadam and other types of food, because they're not serving out every day.
Okay.
Because then some days they have to fend for themselves, and then when there's prasadam again, it's like, we're going to get the good stuff. So they develop even more appreciation.
Otherwise then they don't.
They just take it for granted.
Yeah, I think there was some example of someone taking it for granted. You know? And so then Prabhupada said, then we shouldn't feed them every day. Because if they can appreciate it, they have the qualification, then you can how much they can. But if it comes to that point where they take it for granted, then you have to do less. So there's a balance. There's that Marwari saying, a shallow stream floods quickly. So you have to be very like one devotee, you know, business family. He was running his business, and his mother would come and visit now and again. One, to see the family, but also two, to see how he was doing. Right. You know, like that. So then I think it was Diwali or something, and you know, then he gave, you know, a bonus to the workers, and then I think it came along Christmas, he was going to give another bonus like that, because, you know, things had gone well. His mother said no.
Mm-hmm.
Says you can't give that often, otherwise they become lazy, they won't work for you, because then they'll think, okay, every time there's a festival or any time there's good work, they deserve something.
Yes.
And then if you don't give, then they won't work. Right? So she pointed out, you know, you can only give it this time and then this time, you know? Like that. So once, twice a year. You know, unless it's some major thing. Let's say the person, their daughter's getting married. Or, like that. Then you might, you know, something for that. Then it's personal. But connected with the work, then it had to be, you had to be careful. Does that make sense? So there's more to it than just giving things away. Is that It is therefore said in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.18, Lal Labhyate Dukavad Anyata Sukham. As far as material happiness is concerned, that comes without effort, just as tribulations come without effort. So we always say, oh, I get all these problems without trying for it. We're also getting our happiness without trying. Just the happiness what we want, so we don't notice that. You know, that's the material happiness and pain can be attained without endeavor. One should not bother for material activities. If one is at all sympathetic or able to do good to others, he should endeavor to raise people to Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole point. So even if you're doing an activity, it should be that it's giving Krishna consciousness. So when we say material activities, we don't mean the activity itself. We mean doing that activity without Krishna consciousness. Right? Is that something? In this way, everyone advances spiritually by the grace of the Lord. For our instruction, Bharat Maharaj acted in such a way. We should be very careful not to be misled by so-called welfare activities conducted in bodily terms. One should not give up his interest in attaining the favor of Vishnu at any cost. Like, as it mentions, the point about you can give up you know, a member of the family, for the community, for, you know, a nation and the whole world to save yourself. So that's the whole point, is that you can't compromise your service to the Lord. Means your surrender to the Lord. You may have to move around your schedule and different things, and it may be more physically comfortable or not, more emotionally comfortable or not. That's another thing. Does that make sense? But you can't give up the gaining the favor of Lord Vishnu. So you may not be able to do it one way, you do it another. Generally, people do not know this, or they forget it. Right?
Yeah.
So even if they know, they'll forget. Consequently, they sacrifice their original interests, the attainment of Vishnu's favor, and engage in philanthropic activities for bodily comfort. Sugadeva Goswami continued. Due to attraction for the deer, Maharaj Bharata lay down with it, walked about with it, bathed with it, and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. When Maharaj Bharata wanted to enter the forest to collect kusa grass, flowers, wood, leaves, fruits, roots, and butter, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. He would therefore always take the deer with him when entering the forest. When entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive to Bharata Maharaj due to his childish behavior. Maharaj Bharata would even take the deer on his shoulders and carry it due to affection. His heart was so filled with great love for the deer that he would sometimes keep it on his lap or, when sleeping, on his chest. In this way, he felt great pleasure in fondling the animal. 11 to 13. His purport to verse 13, Srila Prabhupada comments.
So, this is the origin of pet taking care?
I could be, yes. But you can see his... he does it way better than anybody else, right? You know, even the cat lady doesn't do it. He isn't this good. You know? Srila Prabhupada comments. Bharata Maharaj left his home, wife, children, kingdom, and everything else to advance his spiritual life in the forest. But again, he fell victim to material affection due to his attachment to an insignificant pet deer. What then was the use of his renouncing his family? One who is serious in advancing his spiritual life should be very cautious not to become attached to anything but Krishna. Sometimes, in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities. But we should remember that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, there is no chance of our being victimized by material activities. Right? So if we maintain the Krishna consciousness, then whatever the situation, if it's valid in furthering ours or others' Krishna consciousness, then we won't become distracted. But if we forget about the Krishna consciousness for Krishna, then we will be victimized.
But that's the problem sometimes, that something that seems like it's beneficial for someone else's connection to Krishna may be detrimental to our own connection.
Yes, that's why that's why duties are there and situations. Why? Who does what when? That's why then one must study the laws of Dharma.
Mm.
So it's like, since it is a very fine point, then, you know, we should be studied in that, practiced in that.
Because like Prabhu is saying, with family, you want to be nice and elevate them and all this, but sometimes they're just not taking it, and then suddenly it creeps into your own side.
Yes, but that's the point, is you have to see that your own Krishna consciousness is maintained, even though to them it appears you're just taking part in doing whatever they do. Is that something? Yeah, so that means here, so this one should always remember. Okay, generally people who do not know this or they forget it. Right? Generally people do not know this or they forget it. And then here is, but we should remember that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, there's no chance of our being victimized by material activities. So we see here then in the inverse, that if we forget, then we will be victimized. Right? Does that make sense? So it's being presenting in the pot. So the other one is presenting the negative. Here is presenting the positive. But each one infers the other. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued. When Maharaj Bharata was actually worshipping the Lord or was engaged in some ritualistic ceremony, although his activities were unfinished, he would still at intervals get up and see where the deer was. In this way, he would look for it. And when he could see that the deer was comfortably situated, his mind and heart would be very satisfied. And he would also bestow his blessings upon the deer, saying, "My dear calf, may you be happy in all respects." Through the proper comments. If one's mind is distracted from worship, a mere show of worship will not be of any benefit. The fact that Bar Maharaj had to get up at intervals to look for the deer was simply a sign that he had fallen down from the spiritual platform. Mm-hmm. Right, so already at this point is where we can see the problem. Right? Is that what it says? Right, so when it says he gave up the spiritual force, certain taking care of the deer, now, because we got the thing is, okay, he's not doing his sadhana or anything, and he's just taking care of the deer. And now he's taking it to a further point, is he is doing his sadhana, but he's giving that up to serve the deer. Yes. And so therefore, how solid is his sadhana? Right? So it's not that he's balancing it around, because it appears that the deer is not a high-maintenance pet. You know?
It appears he's balancing his sadhana around the deer.
Yes. But not that it has to be.
No.
Right? You know, it's by that... Yes, so that's the whole point. Yes.
I was thinking for us, it's sometimes, you know, we change up or we really try to concentrate, but there's a computer, and there's a mobile phone. Yeah. It's not even a deer. It's very...
It's not even cute and cuddly, right? You know, you don't see it, you know, he's sleeping, he's got his iPhone on his chest.
Actually, some people do.
Do that, yeah. That's
they fall asleep with the computer on their lap. And it's very bad for the health.
Yes, but... The advantage of it that by falling asleep with means the person who would be so absorbed that they're falling asleep with the computer on their lap, there's always the question, do you want more of this mentality? Right? No? Better is there's less of this mentality. But the good point is by doing that, you will reduce the genes to go into the gene pool. So then you technically, over the long run, solve the problem.
Natural selection.
Yes, natural selection.
It's not all bad.
No. Yes.
Silver lining.
Yes. It's a subdivision of the Darwin Awards.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, "If Bharat Maharaj sometimes could not see the deer, his mind would be very agitated. He would become like a miser, who having obtained some riches, had lost them and had then become very unhappy." Right? So this example is given because this is much more strong here.
Yes.
Right? You know, you get so much money, then you lose. So it was that intense was the, you know, between the his practice sadhana and then going into the other. And then, you know. "When the deer was gone, he would be filled with anxiety and would lament due to separation. Thus he would become illusioned to speak as follows." Srila Prabhupada comments.
Wow.
Yes.
So this is what practically all the mothers are doing?
Yes. So this is the chapter. This is the mom's chapter.
So, clearly. So the child is not the devotee.
Then it's a problem. Because also, this means this was not necessarily the main point here, but the child was gone, the deer was gone. Why would the deer be gone?
It's an animal.
It's an animal. And why would it go out? To eat or something, but what does it mean?
It doesn't need to.
Doesn't care, but yes. But also, is this right at the beginning, right when he found and fished them out of the... In other words, the deer's getting growing up. So therefore, as the child grows up, you have to be able to let them become Krishna conscious. Right?
Just make a longer list.
Yeah. Does that make sense? Because the point is, it's about the Krishna consciousness. Now, because we have an interest in the kind of emotional, interaction that goes along with raising a child, that's why we're in the position of raising the child. Does that make sense? And the child themselves, having an interest in that kind of thing, then takes birth in that particular family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's generally some kind of match there, either in a positive or a negative.
Mm-hmm.
Right? whatever it is. If you're pious, that you have good family members, good relations, then that's there. If you're impious, that you don't have, then you're born into the one that will give you trouble. Right? Does that make sense? Like that.
Let's suppose we are not talking about devotees. It's a big sacrifice. It's a hard work. And I heard that when a father sees the newborn son, that all his debt to their forefathers are paid.
When he sees...
When he sees the newborn son.
They're paid.
Yeah.
Just like that. And now he can just... That's it. Can just skip out. And that's it.
Not skip out. But to have a child, it's a hard work. And
yes.
What I mean is...
Okay.
I cannot say English now. Maybe it comes out of the word...
Can't hear. She can't say.
Perfect combination.
Yes. Yes. Very good. Very good.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Very good. Okay.
It is a sacrifice.
It is a sacrifice. But the point is it's not that the sacrifice is not without our own happiness in making that sacrifice. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that has to be balanced, is that we're making the sacrifice because actually we want that. But the whole purpose of it has to be the Krishna consciousness. So dealing with the child, raising the child, has to be focused towards Krishna consciousness. We have to try our best. You know, and then as long as we're responsible, so in the modern age, then you're responsible until they're 18. Mm-hmm. The Vedic until they're 16. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then the point is that up to that point, you have to try your best. After that, they are on their own. Mm-hmm. If they decide, if they take Krishna consciousness, then you can say, okay, now you've done a good job. If they don't take Krishna consciousness, then that's up to them. They'll have to end their own. If you can have any influence in that, you try. But if not, there's nothing. They're independent. They do what they want. You know what I'm saying? So the sacrifice is there, but it can't be that the sacrifice means your own spiritual life goes. Because you're supposed to be adding to it, right? In other words, stream means to add, not to do the what do you call it?
Subtraction.
Yeah, subtraction. Our Greek friend, the Macedonian friend. Yes, because he would get one thing and lose the next thing. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have to balance that. It is trouble, but it's the kind of trouble that you want to take.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments. If a poor man loses his money or gold, he at once becomes very agitated. Similarly, the mind of Maharaj Bharata would become agitated when he did not see the deer. This is an example of how our attachment can be transferred. For attachment is transferred to the Lord's service, we progress. Right? So if we're focused on the Lord, and then there's a moment where we're not connected to the Lord and we feel agitated, that attachment is going to make us advance very quickly. Right? Srila Rupa Goswami prayed to the Lord that he would be as naturally attracted to the Lord's service as young men and young women are naturally attracted to each other. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited such attachment to the Lord when he jumped into the ocean or cried at night in separation. However, if our attachment is diverted to material things instead of to the Lord, we will fall down from the spiritual platform. So that's the thing, is the attachment, as we said, the attachment's not the problem. It's that the attachment to something else other than Krishna. Right? And because we're used to, not separating things, not distinguishing between things, then we can't make a distinction between the Lord, the Lord and devotional service, attachment itself, and material activities. So because material activities means you're misapplying these qualities, then we take it that the qualities themselves are the problem. The attachment's the problem. No, attachment to something other than Krishna is the problem. Right in the beginning, when we can't make the distinction, yes, then we say attachment to these aspects of secondary is bad. Attachment to, you know what I'm saying? So therefore, we're detached from these. And that kind of lifestyle then is more favorable, which it is. So in other words, a yama niyama. Right? like that. We give up what's not beneficial. So that's the first thing. Yama is giving up what's not useful. Niyama is then following what is. Right? So that's the first thing. So we give up what's useless. Because we're used to a secondary vision, so then it's very easy to switch. You know what I'm saying? But as one advances, then it's not actually about giving up, it's about accepting Krishna. Right? Never forget means you're remembering. Right? Bharat Maharaj would think, alas, the deer is now helpless. I am now very unfortunate, and my mind is like a cunning deer hunting, for it is always filled with cheating propensities and cruelty. The deer has put its faith in me, just as a good man who has a natural interest in good behavior forgets the misbehavior of a cunning friend and puts his faith in him. Right? So you see is that from devotional service he's developed these finer points of thinking and this finer character. And then he's using it on one level is that, okay, someone is taking shelter and has that faith and you have to reciprocate that. You can't let that drop. But it's not about Krishna consciousness, it's about... Does this make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very fine point. Like that. But the point is in doing this, which is the proper etiquette, he's dropped the Krishna consciousness in the process. So you can learn from here how's the proper behavior, but at the same time you also learn how the proper behavior doesn't stand in for Krishna consciousness. You know, it's just like, let's say you're helping the child do something, right? And you've always been doing that. So then they are dependent and they have faith, right? But at some point now they're a little bigger. No, I want to do this myself. Now, if we are going by the natural thing, right, then we would let them do but be right there just in case something goes wrong. The other thing is that due to our own attachment, okay, you want to do it, then you stand back and let them do it, and then they'll fail and then they get... But then, when something goes wrong, who are they going to blame?
The parent.
Because the parent always takes care to make sure nothing goes wrong. So just because they want to do it themselves doesn't mean you don't see that it doesn't go. So that's the point he's talking about here. Because you have to be very, very careful on where that's how that's done.
Yeah.
Right? That makes sense?
Yeah.
You know, so one has to be very careful about that. But at the same time, is in doing that, you can't give up your Krishna consciousness. You have to balance all that.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm just thinking the same pattern works with the guru and disciple.
Yes.
Actually. Because sometimes we see gurus, they're burdened with disciples, you know, problems and this
Correct.
And that.
Yes.
And they suddenly decrease.
Yes, because there's certain... That's the whole point, is that there's duties and everybody should be formed. So it's like the mother and child, there is those duties to take care. But it's not at the expense of Krishna consciousness. But the duties must be done. Right? So seeing that, how you say, out of all the categories that want the impossible, women and children are both, you know, two that want the impossible. So therefore, go for it. Right? But at the same time as the guru and disciple, slightly different relationship. It's the spiritual that's there. But because you're helping them get through, how to be Krishna conscious in a materially disturbing situation, either emotionally or physically or like this,
yeah.
That many times it's mistaken that the effort is on the material side. Like, in other words, you sat down, you went through it, you gave the support, and then they appreciated that one spiritually, but they also appreciated it materially.
Yes.
And so then, they'll keep coming back for that. So you see, there's the disciple who you're not dealing with them any more than anybody else. But then something goes wrong, you put in that extra effort. Then, because they got extra effort, now something's always wrong.
Yes. Yes.
So this is childish, actually.
That's wrong. That's the thing that that's what burdens the guru, and then people can't understand. And so for most of them, then what they do is they just drop. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They use the hot potato principle. Is then they just drop the disciples. Or they just get totally involved in that and becomes the whole social, emotional scene, and that it disturbs everybody. You know, because other disciples, why they're getting more, the presidents, the this and that, it just doesn't work properly. Or they just drop them, and then they get freak out, and what's this and that. So the thing is to be able to distinguish between what's the spiritual, what's the material, using the material medium, but it's about the spiritual. So the spiritual master is helping, so you understand the spiritual content of this. Though it may be in the examples and the discussion is about the material situation and how to resolve that, but it's more about how to be Krishna conscious in that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if that's there, then it'll work. But if it gets more off, so that's why also if you have the Vedic system, then everybody's taken care of more nicely. You know, because that's also a problem. Because if you're nice, then you know, it can be interpreted on the material side. Like that. But if you have a social system that everything basically is as nice as it gets in the material world, then you only have to add that spiritual, because all the material things are being taken care of. You know, there's family, there's community, there's friends, there's all these things. But when there isn't those things, then if somebody will be nice, then generally you want them to take care of everything. And then that's where the problem lies. You know, so the problem comes is, disciple doesn't see that that's what's happening, or the guru is not experienced enough and doesn't see that that's what's happening.
Yes.
Right. And so then it creates a lot of problems.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
The more we don't know who we are, the more we get in such situations that somebody like tries to take shelter of us in some way that it's not that we know. And we have problems because of that.
Yes. But the thing then in here is that, yes, we'll get that. That's what it is, which is being brought up. So he's brought it up as that guru-disciple. That's a place where this happens a lot. But it can happen in any position. You know what I'm saying? It's just like before, it was something, I don't know that you can say it's now, but it was a phenomena back in the, I'd say, late 70s, early 80s. Is that you know, when you had Brahmacharini ashrams. So the Brahmacharinis didn't necessarily come from a great background. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, otherwise why are they living there?
Yes.
You know, the home situation or whatever is crazy, so they've moved into the ashram because they just want, you know, they want some shelter. Right? And so then in that, because you have to manage a place, the temple president is nice to the Brahmacharinis. He's nice to everybody because it's the temple. He's trying to take care. Then generally ends up as, you know, whichever one is quickest, then they're the one that ends up, you know, becoming his wife.
Yes.
Right? And then, you know, up to this point, okay. But then the next step is that where it falls apart. Now, because she, how did she become his wife? By him taking care. So now, and so, how does she maintain that she's the main person? She cuts all the connection with all the other girls. And then now the girls have no shelter, and so then they all leave. So that's probably one of the unspoken stories about the, you know, behind the, what do you call it? The feminist movement. Is that the girls got themselves. Men didn't help. We're not saying that the men are not at fault here, but we're not also saying that women are not much better. You know what I'm saying? So these are problems that come up. So so because of this balance, you can't be nice, you can't not be nice. If you're not nice, it's a problem. If you're nice, it's a problem.
Yes.
You know? Maybe we should take some lessons from zombies, right? You know, they do their service, but they don't emotionally interact.
You gotta give them that, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, you have to give them.
Yes, you know, so just, you know, you might want to refine the physical movements a bit, you know, like that. And, you know, the makeup's a bit strange, but. You know what I'm saying? So that's the importance of the social thing, because here the compassion, this is a social element that's naturally there, because the devotees, they are a community. Right? There's the Lord and the devotees, so there's community. And so they're interactive, they take care, there's all the social things go on. But it's all centered around Krishna. Right? Brudge goes on very nicely. Right? Like that. They have facility, they pay their taxes, nice interactions, but they're all Krishna conscious. So that's what we're being asked to do. So when it becomes too focused on the social, then it's a problem. Right? So either it's too focused on the social because it's a nice system, like the Hindus, or it's too focused on the situation because there is no system. Right? So either way, it's a distraction. One's a pious distraction, one's an impious distraction. So the point is that if it is, then you have to explain why. Not just cut and dry the rules, but, you know, it's nice and I appreciate and this and that and so like this, but this is the standard. You know, so that it's clear why this is there, rather than, you know, the hot potato. Because that never works out very good. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But then on the other side, when that woman, let's say the man is preaching to a woman and the woman sees that his wife has problems, then she would step aside. Like,
that's there because that's because she comes from a background that there is that respect. You know, it's just like, I don't know about now, but at least back before. Let's say someone's drowning out in the water, right? And the lifeguard swims out to catch them. One of the first things they have to do is incapacitate the person.
Yes.
Either they have to be able to hold them in such a way that they can't move, or they even have to take it to the point that they actually physically knock them out. Because by they're so much worried about them that they will, them and the lifeguard, they'll drag them both down. Do you understand? So therefore, the woman to step aside means that there's some culture that's what's going on. There's a respect. But when there's absolutely nothing and this is the only thing, then you don't have that. So that's the difficulty. You're trying to introduce a refined culture into an environment of less refinement. Right? And unless you have expert teachers, you don't really get the full Pygmalion effect. Does that make sense? Yes, My Fair Lady. It means turning a East Ender into a lady. That probably means even less. Okay. Okay. In other words, you take basically a girl off the street and make her into someone who can function in high society. Sorry?
Cinderella.
Yes, Cinderella. Yes, yes. But the one thing, though, is she was from actually a good family. Yeah, okay. But the principle is the same. You understand? So that's there, so then you can appreciate the concept. Because it would be natural. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So if a poor man loses some money on gold, he becomes agitated. I mean, if a rich man loses it.
It means basically what it's meaning is you have the example is we're talking about when he's rich and then loses it. But who is he before? He was poor. The rich guy, he's born rich, and he loses some money. He doesn't really worry about it. But if he was poor, then he gets money, then he loses it. That really freaks him out. So that's the word. So we're talking about here, the deer is poor. He has nobody. Now Bharat Marsh is taking care. And then now, at this point, he's gone from the ashram. Bharat Marsh is not taking care. So he's seeing himself as the one that's a problem. So it might be something in where you do have responsibility. But technically, even if he does take care of the deer, it's only to the point where the deer starts to go out on their own. You know what I'm saying? So at one point, the deer's an adult. They're on their own. Like that. So that's not happening. He's not letting his deer grow up. You know, becoming too attached. Although I have proved faithless, will this deer return and place its faith in me? Alas, is it possible that I shall see again that I shall again see this animal protected by the Lord and fearless of tigers and other animals? Shall I again see him wandering in the garden eating soft grass? I do not know, but the deer might have been eaten by a wolf or dog, or by the boars that flock together, or the tiger who travels alone. Oh, so then we're talking about animals in groups, then.
Yes.
We can throw boars into it.
Yes.
Okay, so. Footnote 4. Srila Prabhupada comments, Maharaj Bharata could think only of the deer and how the animal could be protected from all kinds of inauspicious things. From the materialistic point of view, such kind thoughts may be very laudable. But from the spiritual point of view, the king was actually falling from his exalted spiritual position and unnecessarily becoming attached to the animal. Right? It's another thing. Is he's there, he takes care, it's part of his sadhana. You know, he's there, he does his puja, he sees that the animal is taken care of, and this and that. And that's his part, because the animal has its karma. He may be a well-wisher, but still, it's the Lord who's protecting. So here, when he says the Lord will protect, when we see him again protected by the Lord and fearless, but he's in being the instrument, he sees that he's the one that's protecting. Yes. He's kind of forgotten about the list. Not that he's completely not Krishna, but we're talking about this platform of bhava, right? You know, so he's falling from that platform. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's the principle. So wherever we're at, there is a place lower than that. You know, so we have to be very careful to stay on it. Right? Yes.
He was on the platform of Baba and he fell down to what platform?
A nice guy.
Huh?
A nice guy.
Which is on what platform?
Niceness. Because he's not really functioning on any of these platforms. Doesn't appear. Because he's not steady in his service, he's allowed anarthas to come up. Right?
He's always been
wrong. He has, you know, his faith, he's kind of put it on the side. It's not that he's faithless, he's not just not. In other words, he's not focusing on Krishna consciousness, so the whole thing goes down. If he does, it'll come right immediately back up to what a position it was. Right? Does that make sense? That's the difference, is that you have someone who's advanced. If they fall, when they understand, you know, what's wrong, they go back to their previous position. Right? So it's not, he's a deer, he becomes the deer, he understands what's wrong, he's immediately back on his platform of exalted position. Does that make sense? So that's what we're looking at. So it's not that one falls and then one's grumbling around down there and can't get back up. That's how we would like it to be. You know, they fell down and now they're useless, that's it, they're eternally damned. You know, like that. But it's not actually how it functions. Is that? So it's just that Krishna consciousness becomes eclipsed. So in other words, what's eclipsed is this platform of bhava, because that doesn't go away. Like that. But as soon as then, you know, how you say, his devotional service comes out from behind the, you know, say, the rahu of attachment, you know, then, you know, the mundane tension, then again it comes back to its natural position. So, alas, when the sun rises, all auspicious things begin. Unfortunately, they have not begun for me. The sun god is the Vedas personified, but I am bereft of all Vedic principles. That sun is God is now setting, yet the poor animal who trusted me since its mother had died has not returned. That deer is exactly like a prince. When will it return? Like, so prince, he's taken care with all, you know, whatever he has, he's got the best facility. Because the parent takes care to the best that they have. You know, so in that way then he's the prince. Like in China, they were, you know, recommending having only one child. Right? And then how they were selling it, you know, basically they're trying to control the population. But how they were selling it as the little prince. Because if you have one, then you can give full attention and give everything that you have, because everybody then can take care of one child nicely. The more child, then maybe you don't have the facilities, this, that, blah. It worked.
Yeah. They also wouldn't give any documents for the second child.
No, no. That also helps. Yes. Just in case the first one didn't, you didn't buy the first one. Yeah, the second one, yeah, it does
happen.
Sorry?
Plan B should always be intact.
Yes. No, it's just there. But
carrot that's and stick. Huh? Carrot and stick.
Yes, yes. Very big stick.
Yes.
It's still on you?
Sorry?
They still on you?
That I know of? Yeah. That's the rule. Because they said no papers means you can't get into schools, you can't get jobs, you can't get anything.
You don't exist, that's it.
Yeah, you don't exist. So if you want the non-existent. So that means they can stay in your house all day and you can feed them and take care of them, but you got to do that the rest of their life. So, can't get a passport, can't get anything. Except
that, huh? They change
it. Sure. I've heard also something.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I don't know. I know there's certain communities that can have more. Like Tibetans, they can have two children.
Yeah.
Because there's less of them. So there's certain communities, they can have two children. But the main, they can only have one.
In the cities, it's different areas. It
yes. Yeah, yeah. Probably if you're out there and, you know, in the Gobi Desert, then you can have 10.
They die anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Just have as many as you like. Yeah. Go for it.
That's not the problem. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You were saying something before we got distracted? Or?
Probably.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Such an interesting thing.
Yes, yes. I forgot. Okay. 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 That deer is exactly like a prince. When will it return? When will it again display its personal activities, which are so pleasing? Mm. Right? But that's also because it's small, right? Like it mentioned before, was it in relationship too? I don't remember if it was Krishna or if it was someone else. We were talking, or some great devotee where they were performing the pastimes of ignorance. Even though they're you know, self-realized, the entity or the Lord themselves, but they play like a small child, like there's, you know, the pastimes of ignorance. They don't know what's going on. Like that. So that's what's attractive. That's where you feel I can put in this. But the point is they grow up, so that has to go down. So the deer's growing up. Otherwise, it left. I'm sure when it was smaller, it didn't leave.
Yeah.
But now it's getting bigger. It's adventuring out and checking out things like that. But he still has that same attachment. So, yeah. When will it again pacify a wounded heart like mine? Right. So now it comes back that way, rather than just he was taking care of the deer because it needed it, and now that it's grown up, then it needs left. In other words, if it comes back into the ashram, you feed it. Like that. And if you don't, then not. The member was, I think it was one of those, what do you call it? Reader's Digest stories. So they're always that emotional and personal and like that. So some lady, I think it was, something happened, this crow got, you know, orphaned of that. So the lady raised the crow. And, you know, so the crow thought it was human, you know. So do everything, you know, wherever she would walk, it walked behind. And, you know, she'd sit down, it'd sit and that. She'd go into the garden and plant flowers, you know, put them into the ground, and it would come behind each one and pull each one of them out, and, you know, like that. It would just do everything that she did. But then, you know, it eventually got to the point, and then they grow up, and then it flew off, you know, like that. And so then, you know, that was it. So there's nothing else to do. But it still had a relationship. So then for fun, sometimes the lady would be sitting there in her backyard with friends, and the crows would fly over, and she'd whistle. And then that crow would come down and then sit right there, you know. You know, feed it something and then it would fly off. You know, so the deer, if it came in, of course, is going to be nice and feed it or pet it or something like that. But then it'll wander off again. But here he's lamenting because he's done that. So he's gotten overly attached where he himself requires that interaction. I certainly must have no pious assets, otherwise the deer would have returned by now. Alas, the small deer, while playing with me and seeing me feigning meditation with closed eyes, would circumambulate me due to anger arising from love, and it would fearfully touch me with the points of its soft horns, which felt like drops of water. Because they're furry. When they're small, the horns are really furry and soft like that. In his purport to verse 21, Srila Prabhupada points out, now King Bharata considers his meditation false. While engaged in meditation, He was actually thinking of his deer, and he would feel great pleasure when the animal pricked him with the points of its horns. Feigning meditation, the king would actually think of the animal, and this was but a sign of his downfall. Right? So all these things, you can just see how it's just, you know, snowballing like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Like that. From something that has the natural compassion, as Prabhupada mentioned before. What was that one? That was... When a person is advanced in spiritual consciousness or Krishna consciousness, he naturally becomes very sympathetic towards all living entities suffering in the material world. Naturally, such an advanced person thinks of the suffering of people in general. However, if one does not know of the material sufferings of fallen souls and becomes sympathetic because of bodily comforts, as in the case of Bharat Maharaj, such sympathy or compassion is the cause of one's fall down. And so, if you don't know about the bodily discomforts, you don't know about the nature of the soul. In other words, this is the karma, this is how it's going to get. So if you can help, nice, but you have to know what it actually is. Right? Then you can do something.
Yes.
So he's forgotten all that. And now his sadhana, you see, was being broken by taking worrying about the deer. Then even his meditation wasn't, he was actually meditating. He was thinking about the deer. Right, because he's there quiet, not doing anything, so the deer would come around, and why he's not interacting, you know, and come and then, you know, poke him, or, you know, stuff like that. But we can understand that he has horns, that means he's growing up.
Yes.
Right, because when they're small, there's no horns, but he has horns, so that means he's getting bigger.
It seems like he's not really acting on the self-realized platform.
At this point, we can see no. Before there was, you know, there was the self-realized aspect. Then we see slowly, slowly, there's less of it there. The quality of the sadhana, you know, the quality of how he sees it. Because before he would talk about, you know, the Lord and this and that. Now he's just talking about himself and now how impious he is because now he doesn't have this relationship.
Well, then again the question comes up, why does he become a self-realized fear if he's not acting on that platform at the end of his life?
Because Krishna consciousness doesn't go away. Mm-hmm. Once you get to bhava, pretty much you're... You know, so in other words, it generated the deer of the body.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, very quickly, having a deer of a body kind of figured out, there's something wrong.
This is not ideal.
This is not what I signed up for. Yes?
Extreme way how he was attached, that he had already done his spiritual advancement. Like, if a materialist would become attached to this, it wouldn't be so extremely.
Yeah, because he has good qualities, so he can be. He can be selfless and all that. In other words, that's what we're saying is that whatever the devotee wants, you can get it better as a devotee following the natural devotional principles than trying to get it as a materialist. This idea is that I have to be practical and not be so Krishna conscious won't actually get you anything. You know what I'm saying? That's the because he has focus. That's the problem with the yogi, is that he's so focused that if he focuses on the wrong thing, you know, he really focuses there. While the materialist, he has hundreds of thousands of desires, he can never really focus on anything. So unless there's something emotional really creating it, then he'll focus, and then when that goes down, then he'll lose focus. But for the yogi, he has natural focus. So if he focuses on the wrong thing, he's really not focused. That's again the thing. Oh, he was never a devotee. Look at, see how it grew up. Mm-hmm. No, but the thing is, it's because he was a devotee, that's why it can happen. So that's what we're saying. The more advanced, the more you have to be careful. Right? You know, in other words, if you're sitting on the ground, you don't so much have to worry about, you know, ending up on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, falling over, bumping your head maybe, but... Is that what I mean? Maharaj Bharat continued his thoughts. When I placed all of the sacrificial ingredients on the kusa grass, the deer, when playing, would touch the grass with its teeth and thus pollute it. When I chastised the deer by pushing it away, it would immediately become fearful and sit down motionless, exactly like the son of a saintly person. Thus it would stop its play. After speaking like a madman in this way, Maharaj Bharat got up and went outside. Right? So, you know, he's responding. You know, it's like if he pushed them away and then he came back and, what do you call it? When you stab somebody with your horn?
Oh.
Yeah. There's a name for it, but. You know, like when the bulls, they gore like that, yeah. This is, you know, so he didn't do that, he just became quiet, you know, what went wrong. Because generally he's very playful in the draft, now he's not, so they just stop. You know, that's the natural thing. So then that will be also more endearing, because then you have an effect, you have, like that. Sorry?
But,
yes, but. Okay, yeah, he wouldn't come and butt him with his horns, right? Yeah. After speaking like a madman in this way, Bharat Maharaj got up and went outside. Seeing the footprints of the deer on the ground, he praised the footprints out of love, saying, "Oh, unfortunate Bharata, your austerities and penances are very insignificant compared to the penance and austerity undergone by this earth planet." Now he's really over the top. Right? "Due to the earth's severe penances, the footprints of this deer, which are small, beautiful, most auspicious, and soft, are implanted on the surface of this fortunate planet." Yes. Because he's projecting his own feelings on something that doesn't necessarily have that. You know, it's just that the deer walks. So, I mean, what's the great thing? You know, they've all, you know, everybody's walking. If it's Krishna's footprints, now we can say all this stuff. That's fortunate. But otherwise, though. "This series of footprints show a person like me, who am bereaved due to loss of the deer, how the animal has passed through the forest, and how I can regain my lost wealth." Right, because his wealth is that affection between himself and the deer. "By these footprints, this land has become a proper place for brahmanas, who desire heavenly planets or liberation, to execute sacrifices to the demigods." Let's just check. Black, though, okay. So this is a, what do you call it? An antelope, technically. The ones with the single horns, like that. Because they're considered auspicious. So that land where the black antelope roams, that's considered a fit place for Brahmins to live.
So he's not talking out of his mind.
Means how he's applying it, he is. But the rule is correct. But he's taking it because the deer has walked here, and his affection for the deer, and therefore that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But it's based on that rule, but he's taking it beyond. So that's the advantage of the Vedic rules, is that they still will work within this. And then when you realize how it's too attached, when you pull back, you still have the rules left. Does that make sense? So all that has to go is the over attachment, not the activities.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, "It is said that when a person becomes overly involved in loving affairs, he forgets himself as well as others, and he forgets how to act and how to speak." And so now he's just, you know, saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Maharaj Bharata continued to speak like a madman. Seeing above his head the dark marks on the rising moon, which resembled a deer, he said, "It's really going right? off the reservation. Yes. Can it be that the moon, who is so kind to an unhappy man, might also be kind upon my deer, knowing that it has strayed from home and has become motherless? This moon has given the deer shelter near itself just to protect it from the fearful attacks of the lion." After perceiving the moonshine, Maharaj Bharata continued to speak like a crazy person. He said, "The deer's son was so submissive and dear to me that due to its separation, I am feeling separation from my own son. Due to the burning fever of this separation, I am suffering as if inflamed by a forest fire. My heart, which is like the lily of the land, is now burning. Seeing me so distressed, the moon is certainly splashing its shining nectar upon me, just as a friend throws water on another's face who has a high fever. Footnote 5. In his purport to verse 25, Srila Prabhupada comments, according to Ayurvedic treatment, it is said that if one has a high fever, someone should splash him with water after gargling this water. In this way, the fever subsides. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifies that quote, persons skillful in mantras should perform this technique. Prabhupada specifically said it has to be a friend. There has to be a close relationship. You can't just be anybody. So that's why he's using it from that friend side. He's kind of leaving out the expert mantra side. Like that. But it does work. I remember Prabhupada mentioned this, and I remember they used it here in Mayapur on somebody. It worked really good.
I know on the Buddha also.
Used it, yeah. Okay. Okay. So he now first he's taking the moon's given shelter to the deer, and in this way then he's making it nice, and at the same time, because the moon is like nectar, that he's feeling the separation, so now he's showering him with nectar so he feels better. So, you know, he's very affectionate here because he's becoming very poetic.
He's done more than perceiving the moonshine.
Yes. He wasn't thinking, oh, good, the moon's out, now I can look for the deer. He's way past that. 24 to 25. In this way, moon is bringing me happiness. 24 to 25. Sukadev Goswami continued. My dear king, in this way, Bharat Maharaj was overwhelmed by an uncontrollable desire, which was manifest in the form of a deer. So that desire is there, it's manifest through the deer. Because it's not specifically, in his mind, it's the deer, but it's just attachment in general. Right? So that's the principle of immaturity. Due to the fruit of results of his past deeds, he fell down from mystic yoga, austerity, and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If it were not due to his past fruit of activity, how could he have been attracted to the deer after giving up the association of his own son and family, considering them stumbling blocks on the path of spiritual life? How could he show such uncontrollable affection for a deer? This was definitely due to his past karma. The king was so engrossed in petting and maintaining the deer that he fell down from his spiritual activities. In due course of time, insurmountable death, which is compared to a venomous snake that enters the hole created by a mouse, situated itself before him. Right? So the mouse has created its situation, and then the snake comes, you know, either in front and just waits there for the mouse to come out, or, you know, goes inside and then eats the mouse. Right? So, in his purport, Srila Prabhupada addresses the rhetorical question spoken by Sukadev Goswami. A question may be raised, how can a devotee be affected by his past misconduct and vicious activities? In Brahma Samhita it is said, Karmani nirdhati kintucha bhakti bhajam. For those engaged in devotional service, bhakti bhajana, the results of past deeds are indemnified. Footnote 6. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this verse as follows. God impartially induces the fallen souls to act in the way that is consistent on the deeds of their previous births and to enjoy the fruition of their labors. But out of his great mercy to his devotees, he purges out by the fire of ordeal the root of all karma, namely nescience and evil desires. Karma, though without beginning, is still perishable. Right? Even though we say anadi, it's perishable, so it's not anadi. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the important point. Mm-hmm. Right? And even though the eternal, we can say, okay, he started his spiritual life now, so there's a beginning, it's still unlimited in the eternal. Does that make sense? Like that. So here's then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is making the point is that Krishna, he indemnifies the devotee, but he'll partially let some of it play out, because that's the area that the devotee is interested in. Right, and from that one learns things, and then at the same time he's in control of how much, how this and that. So in other words, it's gone. In other words, what's left is just what Krishna is carrying out, but what he's carrying out is based on your previous activities. Right? It's not going to be someone else's. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. According to this, Bharatmaj could not be punished for his past misdeeds. The conclusion must be that Maharaj Bharata purposely became over-addicted to the deer and neglected his spiritual advancement. To immediately rectify his mistake, for a short time he was awarded the body of a deer. This was just to increase his desire for mature devotional service. Although Bharatmaj was awarded the body of an animal, he did not forget what he had previously happened due to his purposeful mistake. He was very anxious to get out of his deer body, and this indicates that his affection for devotional service was intensified, so much so that he was quickly to attain perfection as a Brahmin in a Brahmin body in the next life. It is with this conviction that we declare in our Back to Godhead magazine that devotees like the Goswamis living in Vrindavan, who purposely commit some sinful activities, are born in the bodies of dogs, monkeys, and tortoises in that holy land. Thus, they take on these lower forms of life for a short while, and after they give up those animal bodies, they again are promoted to the spiritual world. Such punishment is only for a short period, and is not due to past karma. It may appear to be due to past karma, but is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. Right? So we catch that. But it's like what Bhakti Siddhartha says, what the Tathagata says. It means it's going to be, that rectification is going to come through the nature of what your previous karma is.
But it will be more intense?
Not necessarily. Maybe more, maybe less. You know, like Prabhupada says, once you have one's arm cut off, but you only get a little nick on the end of your finger. Right? So, it's being reduced. Like that.
So why would they do it purposely?
Purposely, they may think it's, that doesn't matter, or it's fine, or... You know, or they're completely committed to it. See, accidental is just the modes it happens. Purposely means you're committed to it.
Like Bharat
Maharaj. Like Bharat Maharaj, yeah. So then you can see that's then he had the body of the deer and that. So that's based on this. That's what Prabhupada says. Therefore, he can say that the Goswamis who purposely commit sinful acts are born as dogs, monkeys, and tortoises in the land of Vrindavan. Interesting. In reading this, this quote did come up before to the how you say? Let's say the knowledge or the awareness of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, and they became very upset with this point. Really upset. Mm. But, you know, Prabhupada still stuck to it.
So the point here that they kind of talking about is not about karma, but just
means that one's previous activities, those, in other words, if you're on the spiritual platform, things will go according to that. But if you deviate from the spiritual platform and go into mundane consciousness, then what kind of mundane consciousness will it go into? Activities that are based on your previous activities.
It's still based on the karma.
But it's by Krishna's arrangement because it's devotees.
So it's karma according to Krishna karma.
It's Krishna karma. But it's based on what was your, you know, purva karma.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like that.
Corrupted.
Yes. But it's still being affected how Krishna wants it to be affected. So it's for the benefit of the devotee.
But can we say it's valid for all the devotees?
Yes. It's valid for everybody. Just if we give, you know, if we give the example of, you know, Jose Jimenez, then, you know, who cares? Right, yeah. But if it's about...
I care. You
care. He cares.
Not overly.
Not overly. He's not making that mistake. He's not making that spiritual mistake.
It means that he doesn't care about karma.
Who?
Huh?
He hasn't said anything. He just mentioned about Jose.
I didn't hear one.
So you're saying, but you care about Jose, but not about Maharaj Bharat.
No, I care about Maharaj Bharat.
But not as much as Jose.
I mean, Jose... No.
But he needs your compassion, right? Martin Marsh is doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's in the book. That's pretty good.
That's true. Yeah, Jose doesn't get mentioned. Yes.
So that's why it looks like sometimes devotees like ups and downs, because he makes the Krishna karma at our own karma.
No. The Krishna karma is going to take the form of our own karma. It's not that it's two different things. That's what we're meaning. When you become Krishna conscious, your karma is removed. But because of our attachments and all that, it must take some form. So it takes the form of our previous karma. Otherwise, the Prarabdha is going to maintain the body. Right? Everything's removed but that. Otherwise, if you removed all the karma, then you'd just be a jiva sitting there floating around. Right? You know? Yeah. So therefore, the body, the gross and body, subtle body stay. Now, what kind of activities are suitable for that particular gross and subtle body? Where do they come from? The previous activities, you know, that gave you this, or that you did with this body and mind. You know what I'm saying? So that's the natural place. If you're going to step out, it's going to be there. Or if it's something you need to learn because of functioning by that kind of previous karma, then it will come. That lesson will come through that kind of karma.
So the devotee always thinks that this is Krishna's arrangement.
Yes.
Because that's the proper.
Yes, because it is Krishna's arrangement. Because otherwise, then it's Maya's arrangement. And then if it's Maya's arrangement, then it's going to be fully whatever it's going to be, no matter what the situation. Mm-hmm. See, with Krishna, you adjust the mentality; he might adjust the reaction. Maya won't do that. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. It means you get exactly what you do. But for Krishna, he'll adjust it, because the whole point of that is justice, is because that's what we're looking for in the material world. I'm the controller and enjoyer, so therefore you control, you got this, therefore you enjoy the results. But with this, it's your Krishna conscious, therefore it goes on to Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So again, these overlapping seeming, you know. Does that make sense? Okay. Such punishment is only for a short period and is not due to past karma, right? Because that's what it means. You says it's by is karma, right? Mm-hmm. Like that. But at the same time, as it appears that way. It appears that it's like his past karma. That's why we can say it's my karma. Mm-hmm. Because it's appearing like my past karma.
Yes.
But it's not actually, because it's Krishna karma. Mm-hmm. Yes?
It could also happen that somebody takes it like that, that it is like my karma, and then they even go further from Krishna. So they don't take the certification, they even leave it even further.
It's up to you, because that's probably part of the karma. But the thing is, it's like this. If there's no reason to leave Krishna consciousness, everything's going perfectly fine, it's really hard to leave, right? And then if your friends, why did you leave? Was it this, was it that? No, everything was perfect, you know? What about this, that? No, I really liked chanting my japa. Mangal Artik was great. And, my temple president was fabulous. So, you know, and what about your service? No, I loved it. It's going to be really hard. So therefore, if you really aren't interested, then Krishna will arrange something that now you can say, yeah, see, this guy is, as long as he's an ISKCON, I'm not coming back to ISKCON. And, you can do all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? You came to ISKCON and that guy was around, it didn't matter, so what has it got to do now? But, there's some excuse. Is that some excuse? Okay, but it is offered to rectify the devotee and bring him to pure devotional service. That's all. It's just for rectification, because if it's not according to your conditioning, how would you relate to it?
That would be weird.
You know? Yeah. Does that make sense?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai.
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitya Gaura.